Welcome to yet another episode of Two Peas in a Podcast with Trevor.
Trevor, it's me.
And with Michelle.
That's her.
This month we're actually going to talk about a couple of different things, aren't we, Trevor? So you are going to regale us with words of wisdom around autumn planting. So people need to be thinking about that now. And I was going to have a bit of a discussion with you around autumn planting and the current interesting weather. And then we're going to talk a little bit about patience in the garden. And that was a conversation really that my son had with me around wanting to have a garden for his daughter, his newborn daughter. And I thought, how lovely, he wants to grow fresh vegetables. But really, he said, no, I think it's a fabulous lesson.
In patience. Well, I mean, I think he's right, actually. The average plant takes about 3 months from seed to picking, you know. And what you see on TV is people buying these two-thirds grown seedlings that they pop in the ground, and next thing you know, they're finished. And so you never see that long waiting period that you actually get in the garden. So I think patience is not as lazy as it sounds. It's a bit like on Anzac Day, they ask the soldiers, do the TV programs get it right about soldiering? And they said, well, MASH does, because you're always waiting, you see. And this is like it is. You're well prepared. You're trained, you know what you're doing, but you're waiting for the right time. And farmers are doing it right now. They're waiting for what's called the change in season, you see. And it's supposed to come about February or March. But they are prepared, their machinery is oiled and fixed and ready to go. So patience is not really laziness. It's not that you're just hanging out. You are waiting for the right time. And there's another thing that you have to think about here in garden land as well, and that is diversity. You also see on TV how people keep their garden perfectly weeded.
Oh, like mine, Trevor. You've seen it. It's just a joy.
Well, I don't agree with that, and yours is nothing like that.
Trats. I like to call mine creative.
I noticed out in my garden at present, it's lettuce growing season, right, and I put a lot of lettuce in, but unbeknownst to me, up came about 100 lettuces without being asked. They just popped up, and now they're beating my lettuces.
Oh, really? Fantastic.
They're going so fast, you know. And what causes that, I don't know. But there is a lesson in just waiting for your garden to recreate itself. It's like playing the stock exchange, you know. If you've got all your money in one trust, in one group of shares, you're in trouble, because you really need to have a diverse portfolio, as they say. Well, gardening is very risky.
It is.
It's very risky, and
you can lose a lot of money doing it.
Well, you know, you've got to have a plan B, and possibly a plan C, D and E as well, because irrespective of what the TV programs might say, you are going to lose entire crops. And I'm not being pessimistic, because I'm not a pessimist, but no. I do think you need a plan B, and often your best plan B is to let nature go its own way. That is, the weeds are said to be absorbing all the water, but that's not entirely true, because the weeds are providing wind protection, they're providing shade, and they're providing this jungle-like atmosphere in which plants thrive. They like the shade, they like the company, they like the protection, the diversity, and they're handy too. They are chook food.
And also what I think a little bit with weeds is I always think I'm not going to weed until I can replace it with something. Otherwise, you've just got this soil sitting there. And, you know, there's mulch. My favourite so-called weed is stinging nettle. Mm. I cook with it. I use it. So, yeah, I agree with you where you've got to kind of look at that diversity. And I have so many tomatoes at the moment, tiny tomatoes, you know, what are they called, little Tommy tomatoes, what are they called again? Anyway, I'll keep rushing out to check that they're ready. I know for a fact, Trevor, that in 3 days, all 500 of those tomatoes are going to ripen, but I'm actually having to learn like that about the patience and the diversity. And if people are wondering why have I planted so many tomatoes, I didn't. I planted a few and I have got them coming up in the front verge. I've got them coming up in the middle of the lawn, along with some tansy and some parsley. And then I sat back and I thought, isn't that interesting? My garden, because I've you know, been very busy lately, so I haven't had the time to get into it over the last year as much as I would like, has just kind of gone, thank you very much, you've been annoying us all along, and we're just going to do what we think is best anyway, and I've got all these prolific vegetables. It's fantastic.
Well, I mean, it is. It's very true. I suppose that little bit of rain we had probably ignited it all, because I think it's well known, actually, the difference between winter plantings and summer plantings is that a lot of seed don't come up until the soil reaches 12 degrees centigrade. They have a code implanted in their system that says, now it's right to go. Well, when it got to 40, they probably had a memory that, no, we don't grow in this. So everything was frozen, you know. But now that the rain has come, you should see my melons, you know.
Really, Trevor?
But anyway, the pumpkins are growing about a foot on each particular octopus leg. You know how they send out six or more vines or whatever you call them? And they're growing a foot, but it's not only that. They're growing up as well, and they're growing in six directions at once. And so 3 weeks ago, you would have saw just a bit of green, but now you see this entire corner, two corners taken over by pumpkins, and they are just swamping things, you see. So I didn't do that. I didn't do that at all, but it's going like crazy now.
It is. It's fantastic. And you just sit back and you just kind of go, isn't that nice? Like, I've got parsley going bananas. I know it seems a bit early for parsley normally.
I got it too.
But for some reason, it's just gone bonkers, you know. So tabbouleh is what's going to be my big thing, you know. And I'm just like, I've ignored it sort of thing. I've cut it all back, did all the right things. And it's almost like they've kind of gone, you know.
I got that too. And I got it with basil as well. You know, you pick sort of large bags full of basil when you're taking around to friends, and it's off of one plant and you got 12 plants.
Yeah.
So this is harvest season. I mean, autumn actually, we're talking about it as though it were a planting season, but it is harvest season.
It is harvesting, yeah.
So things have gone berserk, and they will keep on going berserk until the frost comes, and we might not get any frost, but the temperatures will drop. And already this morning I had it wearing a jumper, so...
So was I. And I was just going to say about the ground as well. I remember someone saying once that with the first whiff of warmth, people suddenly rush out and plant their tomatoes. And, of course, the weather gets colder and the tomatoes don't grow. And Jackie French, who, other than Trevor, is my guru, often says don't plant until you can sit bare-bottomed on the soil.
Oh.
I know. I tried that and the neighbours complained. But... it's a really good point around being patient.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, the nurseries and stuff, they've got all the seedlings out already, Trevor, mm-hmm. and you kind of go there and you think, oh, fabulous, I'm going to put all my stuff in, but really be patient because it's not quite.
Well, it is actually. I think lettuce is a definite.
Oh, yeah, lettuce is
I think radishes anytime.
Anytime.
I think you can put garlic in anytime, so you can go and plant garlic now. Don't know what's happened to my beans. They're big, but they're not flowering. There's two different things. There's growth of the plant, and then there's the actual flowering. And I've tried all sorts of things. I've given them seaweed. I've given them, you know, ash, potash.
Have you sung to them, Trevor?
No, it's true.
No, but there you go. Bit of
pepperoni. Well, it could be so horrible though. they decide to go, yes. So it is actually harvest season, and you probably are picking a lot of gear.
Yeah.
Right now. I mean, my tomatoes for some reason were early. Well, for me actually, I planted them in September, and so they're kind of finished, but they're coming on again. All the bottom parts died, but the top's all sprouting again.
Oh wow, really? Oh, excellent.
My corn's finished, and I didn't eat as much as I normally did, but if you had a good succession planting of corn, you'd be having a wonderful time now.
Yeah, so I had really lovely corn, but I probably only ended up with about 8 or 10 cobs, which was really interesting because the plants themselves were huge and lush, but there were probably only about, I think 10 of them I counted then. To be fair, they were divine and delicious, but my fantasy of, like, supplying, everybody with corn kind of went out the window. But so that was really interesting. So I had that kind of lushness, and my grapes this year have gone bananas. I took a huge platter to work and was definitely voted employee of the month because they're these gorgeous grapes, and everyone was sitting at their table eating these grapes. They are still going and going and going, and ordinarily they would have been stopped by now. So
grapes are able to grow almost without irrigation.
Yeah, I hardly water them. I do. They just get a bit of the duck water and yeah, they do really well.
So they are one to remember. And if you're trying to shade your house from that incredible summer heat, particularly on the east and the west, you probably should think of grapes and protecting your walls with that sort of thing. So I do think, well, I often get good crops of grapes, me and the bees both, and the ants too. We all have enjoy our grapes. We are just starting to get figs, but figs have had a funny year. So, I mean, you must have this plan A, B and C. You know, this is what you're putting in, and I'm currently putting in lettuces, and I've got radishes, and I've got beans. So I'm putting in some late summer crops, and I'm putting in some early winter crops. I mean, broad beans and peas are absolutely beautiful crops, but there's a fair bit to say that you won't actually get the fruit of your endeavours any quicker by planting them now. You can try it. Yeah. I'm not saying don't try it, but often I've planted broad beans and peas now, and the plants are beautiful, and they are waiting to go. Believe me, they are waiting to go, but because of the cold nights and the flowering, they don't actually fruit until September. So in a way, you can wait until the shortest day. The shortest day is June the 21st or thereabouts. So you can wait until that, and you can pop your peas in then. The only exception is sweet peas, which can go in on St. Patrick's Day.
I have plans to do that.
Yeah, I mean, Gawler's actually quite famous for its sweet peas.
Is it?
Well, bloke in South Gawler that you should actually go and interview.
Ah.
His peas, the seed of his peas, are being sold at Mitre 10 and at the Barossa Garden Centre.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so...
we should go talk to him.
We probably should. He's probably more famous than us, Nick.
I find that very hard to believe. So be patient, you reckon, and your,
well,
your planting experiment.
See,
a bit. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm putting in beans and soya beans and stuff I know will get killed by the coldness, but they're growing so quick now.
Yeah.
Because it's all so hot now, because we had a bit of rain, because we're irrigating, they're going really quick. And so you're having this race against time, which is impatience, I suppose, really.
Yeah.
But I often think of the garden as an experiment, because not only weeds provide chook food, but they provide the compost too. And so you plant a lot of beans and stuff, you can just dig them in because you're losing nothing.
Yeah, exactly. And sometimes what I do with weeds is I've got a bucket of water, bucket with a lid on it.
Yeah.
I've got like those old green garbage bins.
Yeah.
And I'll put the chook manure in there and water it down. Of course, as I get handfuls of weeds, the stuff I don't throw to the chooks, I put in there and top up. Fantastic. Make sure it's really watery and mulchy.
Yep.
Just keep topping that up and pour that on your plants as mulch, and then later on chuck it through the compost or chuck it underneath some trees as mulch.
I do the same thing on my worm farm.
Yeah.
You know, I just put handfuls of green stuff in there, and when I flush out the water, it's all dark brown water, which I then dilute and put anywhere. I'm not sure that it's good, but I think
I think worm farms the best.
It's probably subtle, but I'm getting a lot of results from lettuce at present. I'm happy with that. So I think you can definitely put them in. Garlic is growing, but that grows slow, so I think you can definitely put that in. The plants that are the winter plants, and there's quite a lot of them. Ones we haven't mentioned are fennel and celery.
Love fennel. I think I've said this before.
No, you're right.
I think I've said it before. Celeric is another one. They are such undervalued plants.
Yeah.
Because I've got fennel that the bulb has sat there for probably about 2 or 3 years.
Yeah,
and I just chop the leaves.
Yeah.
If I want like a more subtle flavour.
Yeah.
But you know, the actual bulb is great. But you don't have to eat the bulb. Grab the leaves, chop them up, chop them through a salad, saute them, put them through stuffed mushrooms.
Surprisingly, they do last for 2 years. You get a second run of fennel bulb, which is surprising. You should always be planting carrots this time of the year too. Carrots, celery, onions, they're the basis of our food, really.
Yeah.
So onions are fairly easy in that you can actually, well, spring onions come with the roots attached. So you just cut off the roots, put them in the ground, and they'll grow again.
I have done that this week. Yeah, I thought, oh, look at that. I'm just going to throw them all in. And then, you know what? If it doesn't work out, it doesn't matter. You've got mulch.
Well, yeah, leeks are the same.
Oh,
so
love leeks.
They're all okay. Turnips are good in pasties. You can put them in. They'll grow quick as radish does. Then you've got the big ones. The big ones are your brassicas. Now, we were talking about this book called Vegetables, a Biography. And it is interesting that the history of vegetables, they all start out as weeds, and they get developed over the centuries by Cabbage, for instance, was used as a boiled soup by the peasants who had nothing better. The rich would add bacon bones and stuff to it, but over the years it became so valued, because it's actually high in vitamin C, that the whole brassica family was developed. In England it was Brussels sprouts, in France it was cauliflower, in Italy it was broccolini. So all throughout the world people kept breeding and breeding. And if you look at a cauliflower, it's absolutely hundreds of flower heads.
Yeah.
There's flower heads within flower heads within flower heads in cauliflower. So that has been developed over the year. It wasn't like that for a start. It was a weed that they ate the leaves of for a start, but it developed into this flower. So most of our plants are like that. They start out as weeds and then they develop into this massive thing that has been, well, bred by humans, really. And this is going to be the interesting thing with Australian native plants, because, you know, if we do get 15 or 16 plants to be developed over the next 20 years or so, they'll be worldwide successes. Because
they will, yeah, I agree.
Because it won't be Australians eating them, it will be the world.
It will be, and then suddenly we'll all go, wow, isn't that amazing? We should start eating this thing that's been right under our nose
well,
for years.
The trouble is, they're mostly seed and not enough flesh. They're not really value for money at present, so they have to be bred up. All plants that we eat are bred up so that they become what we desire. And they might lose some of their flavour and their goodness by doing that, but that's what's happened with everything.
Yeah.
They come from all over the world, and that's what's happened with everything. So when you add broccoli, cauliflower, cabbage and Brussels sprouts to the leek, that is basically what you plant in winter. And they can be planted now because you've got that combination of warm soil plus some moisture.
And the beautiful thing too about, like, I guess particularly broccoli and even cauliflower is that you can just, you don't have to rip the whole thing out when it's ready. Just cut the head out and you can get your little sprouts. They don't look as magnificent, but they certainly taste just as good. Chuck it through the stir fries. I think they're actually value for money, and particularly when sometimes the prices of them are a bit like through the roof, aren't they? Silver beet, can we do silver beet now?
Definitely, yeah. I got my silver beet in. It's growing quickly, it's growing well.
I mean, silver beet, I don't know, I always love planting silver beet because it always makes me feel like a magnificent gardener. I always go, look at me growing silver beet. Once again, it's such an undervalued vegetable, you know. Chop it up, throw it through soup, throw it through anything. And once again, you know, you can grow enough of it that you can give it to the chooks and then they'll reward you with bright orange yolked eggs.
Yeah. No, you're right, it's undervalued. I mean, people always look around for spinach substitutes as if you needed it, you know, because once you go silver beet, you've got as much spinach as you could possibly
want. Well, this is it, and that's another one. You just cut the leaves off as you want it, and it might go a little bit funny in the middle, but who cares? They take up a big area. I guess that's the thing too, like these, you know, the cabbages and the broccoli and all that sort of stuff. They do take up a big area, but that's really good because we've talked before about not having huge areas of soil uncovered because you're going to lose most of it.
Yeah, and you've got to wait. I mean, it is a lesson in patience. They will start out as small leaves and then they'll grow into bigger leaves and then they'll start to head in the middle. And like you say, once you pick the first head, it'll head along the node between the leaf and the stem, and they'll keep on going with any luck. Cabbages, usually you cut their head off and that's the end of them.
Yeah, that's a little bit
there weird. Are a lot of different sorts, of course. We say silver beet, but there are many different sorts of Swiss chard and so forth that are basically silver beet. But those who want to be exclusive can plant these other ones, you know.
I like Swiss chard. And you can get the rainbow chard.
That's right.
Glams up the garden a little bit.
Well, I'm picking golden zucchini and green zucchini at present. And, you know, even at present, it's eggplant season too. We're harvesting lots of eggplant.
Oh, wow. My eggplant died. I had one. I suspect my son pulled it out of the garden because he was terrified he was going to get 40 tonnes of eggplant. Although I must tell you, Trevor, that Samuel, he loved the garden, but he didn't love working in it. He just enjoyed being the recipient of being in a house with a nice garden. But now he is becoming quite the gardener because he's working with children. He's working in a school and he's actually starting a vegetable garden at the school. And he's just absolutely loving it. And now he's telling me all about gardening and how good it is for you. But it's fantastic because he's just really enjoying that process, the planting, but also the thing about the waiting and the experimenting. And sometimes things don't work. You can do what you want, you can do however you want, but I had a possum decimate all my lettuce.
Yes, I've got a rabbit at present.
Yeah, you know, and my lettuce was absolutely gorgeous. And then you get up one morning and I had the wire covered, but obviously a possum is a bit heavier than that. And there I went, all my lettuce was brutalized.
It's not really necessary to grow vegetables, but you can get packets of seed called bee and butterfly planting.
Excellent.
So I'm allowing people to plant flowers now as well.
You are as well. Okay, dear listeners, we can all plant flowers now. As long as they're useful. Are you noticing the useful thing?
Well, that's right. But I mean, in the case of teaching children and so forth, there'll be a lot of them who don't really understand the value of eating them, but do appreciate the beauty of them.
They do, you know?
A flock of galahs just flew overhead. That's the other thing about gardening. We mentioned right from the word go. In that children can appreciate the fact of birds and so forth. So you should always have your bird bath in the garden as well. So to sum it up, we have talked about patience, but patience does mean waiting, and you have to be ready. You can't wait without any preparation. You have to be prepared. And we also came up with another thing that your son Sam didn't think of, but we both agree on, and that is you must diversify.
Absolutely.
You must sort of have plan A, B, C, D.
Absolutely.
Otherwise you'll find that gardening's disappointing, particularly if you just do what they do on TV, which is always have it fully weeded and looking beautiful for the cameras, you know.
I know, and you do. You just end up disappointed. In actual fact, you know, look at what's growing and look at what's lovely. And I remember someone saying, it may have even been your very wise wife, sort of basically saying, yes, there's these weeds, but look, they're green. And I thought, you know what, you're right, they're green. And when there's nothing else there, it certainly looks better than bare earth. And don't give yourself a hard time. So what are we talking about next time, Trevor?
I would suggest peas and beans.
Trevor, if you may have noticed, is obsessed with peas and beans. But we will have the peas and beans. We're also going to start talking a little bit about bush tucker plants. Hopefully we'll have someone to come in and speak to us about them, which is fantastic because we are trying to promote some of that sort of greenery. And we'll see if we've been patient enough for Trevor's greenery that he's planted this month to grow. What do you think, Trevor?
Oh, I think it's growing already. I'm not worried about it. I mean, anything could happen any time. It's going pretty well at present. I'm quite happy with the autumn. I like autumn and spring better than I like winter and summer, actually.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of summer. I like winter, but I definitely am excited about my tomatoes. So maybe next month I'll be able to tell you about my 5,000 tomatoes that will ripen all in 1 week. What do you think?
I think you might have to make sure you fertilise them.
With the way I talk, I think they get plenty of fertiliser, Trevor. So we'll see you next month, Trevor.
All right, see you then, Michelle.